Blog Talk Radio.
Each and every day I will seek your face.
Thank you for tuning into USWAT Radio. Stay tuned for a special message from Leivon Breland.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Campaigns initiatives including our Theological Institute, missions, and more. Our team of governance in finance and administration. Our team of Edmarket involving information technology and marketing operations. Help spread the gospel globally. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Hello, radio listeners. This is Selena Olivia, host of Spirit Straight Talk Radio and president of Urban Glory Campaigns. On behalf of Leivon Breland, the founder of Urban Glory Campaigns, I want to personally extend an invitation to join our team. Call our human resource office today at 641-715-3800, extension 2966445. That number again is 641-715-3800, extension 2966445.
Attention Maryland, D.C., and Virginia residents. The last two Wednesdays of every month, Urban Glory Campaign's Biblical Focus Group, the Rhema Group, meets at 7 p.m. Dominion Academy with Selena Olivia for training and discussion in foundational truths. And Ambassador Academies with Urban Glory Campaign's ecclesiastical leader, Leivon Breland, with training for ministry leaders. Check us out online at www.myspace.com/rgru. That's www.myspace.com/rgru. Or call us at 641-715-3800, extension 91120. The Rhema Group, Revelation Unveiled.
Hello, USWAT listeners. This is Selena Olivia, president of Urban Glory Campaigns and host of Spirit Straight Talk Radio, standing in for Dr. Breland of USWAT Radio, who's host of USWAT Radio. It is a great Thursday, and most of us are in preparation, if not already fully prepared, for the holiday weekend, hanging out with, fellowshipping with family members and friends and brothers and sisters in Christ, getting the grills ready and the picnic tables, the cookout gear ready. I want to say happy 4th to everyone, as I won't be on the air until Sunday. It'll be after the 4th, so happy 4th to everyone. And as introduced to you on the last broadcast on Tuesday, we are Tuesday and the previous Sunday. We are in a new type of broadcasting for July only. You'll be hearing my voice, first of all, which will be a different voice consistently for the entire month. And we are dedicating and designed and have designed the broadcast for this particular month to minister and train the ministers of music, every person in the local church and in the church globally, who operates in the ministry arts, or the arts ministry, however you want to say it. Those who are in the drama ministries or theater, those who are vocalists, who are musicians in any instrumentation, whether it's guitar, piano, drums, brass, any type of orchestra instrument, the violin, cello. There are many churches now that have orchestras. black churches as well. Many many of the more conservative Protestant churches have been known to have orchestras. Now we're seeing the black church, quote unquote, having the orchestra, or the Pentecostal churches that are majority, the majority membership are African American, to put it properly, or to put it where it's pleasant to the ear. Some people don't like to hear the black church, but in reality, there is a black church or a church that has majority blacks in it. We're more and more multicultural in our churches than ever before, and praise God for that. I celebrate that to the utmost. I consider myself very eclectic, with a gospel leading to that eclecticism. I don't just listen to anything, but I listen to various types of styles or flavors of music that have the gospel or biblical message in them. I listen to CCM or contemporary Christian music. I listen to gospel, traditional, urban, even Southern gospel, more so traditional and urban, contemporary. So this month we are going to talk about various things concerning ministry in the arts and the importance of the excellence in the ministry of arts, encouraging those who are in the ministry of the arts, fortifying. Tonight we're actually going to deal with fortifying the skill with the gift. The Thursdays of this particular month are going by the title Deary Thursdays, where we're going to fortify the skill with the gift. We're going to talk about music theory, techniques for voice, instrument, and dance. We're also going to talk about the importance and how to structurize your operating in your gift, from rehearsing to the actual ministry performance. So we're going to talk about that in these Theory Thursdays. We have a total of five Thursdays, including today, being that today is the second and the last one is on the 30th. We're going to deal with various aspects of that. Before I get into it, I would like to thank all of you for listening to U-Spot Radio. Thank you for all the supporters, everybody who's given comments, whether you've written them actually on the profile or you've sent us an email or a voicemail or told us by chat on Facebook or anywhere online or by phone or in any form. Thank you for your support. Tell your family members, friends, other ministers of music, anyone in ministry or leadership, even business owners, to listen to U-Spot Radio. It has a faith-based curve, strong curve to it. So those who are considered Christian business professionals, they can listen to this as well, particularly the Leadership Institute segments. And again, as I said in the previous broadcast, it will be available very soon by CD, and we will give you that information as soon as it is available. But you can pre-order now. And if you contact us at 641-715-3900, extension 661083, we will contact you back with information on how to go about pre-ordering and any other information that comes up. We'll give you updates. Join our mailing list, and we'll give you regular updates of ministry news and events and campaign initiatives that we have, or ministry outreaches that we are launching locally and cyberly, if you will, or on the internet. Much of the Ministry of Urban Glory campaigns is digital. We use various forms of the digital communication tools that are out there, and it has really blessed the organization and given us a expansive option on getting work done and making sure that the gospel is able to be spread through the ministry of LaVon Breland and ministers who are within the Ministry of Urban Glory campaigns, without it being a cookie cutter meeting in a conference room. Everyone has to fly in and spend money on tickets. Now we do conference calling and emailing, and we have a intranet office where we communicate that way, the message boards and so on and so forth. And I want to, as the commercial said in the beginning of every broadcast you hear this, join our team. We have what we call a UFlex work program where we give you the projects and you work according to your own time. There's no particular set hour shift. It's not a 9-to-5 cookie cutter type shift setup, but we give you the work. You do it when you need to and do it appropriately, of course, and in excellence, and give us back the work, give us back the research, do networking for the organization, various ways to ensure that the gospel is being spread in every form and that the will of God is being done according to the mandate that has been put on the leader of this ministry and the ministry itself. So we invite you to join the team. We can always call the main number of Urban Glory Campaign, 641-715-3900, extension 661083. Or you can go to our website, urbangloricampaigns.web.com, and there's information there on how to join the team. There's actually an application, a LinkedIn application there. So enough of that, enough of commercials. Let's talk about what we're going to be talking about this month in Theory Thursday, talking about fortifying the skill with the gift, making sure that there is a balance with our operation in music ministry or any ministry of the arts, whether it's dance or theater. When we act out a skit or a full scored play, every line has the power of God, and even the ones that are of a negative tone, because it's depicting a story. And ultimately, the objective or the purpose of that particular play piece needs to be in your heart's mission as you act. As you're acting, it should be in your heart and your mind the ultimate message that is supposed to be gotten across to the audience, so that every line has power behind it. When it comes to singing, every note, the anointing of God should flow through every note. I have seen this happen with my own ministry. I've seen it happen with ministries I've come up under, ministries I've been able to witness live, and even watching it by some type of visual recording, video recording of different types. I've seen where the anointing becomes through the recording device, whether it's a DVD or back in the day VHS. It comes through it and does not die. I've seen the persons who have gone on to be with the Lord who are no longer here physically, and the tape still contains the anointing. There is a anointing on the ministry that they did in the tape. When it comes to playing, whether it's keyboard or a guitar, a brass instrument in an orchestra in a particular church, every member counts. And as the anointing flows freely through every member, just as Paul gives the analogy of the body of Christ, a physical body organism where every member supplies, every joint supplies, every joint within the orchestra or the band supplies. It's so important to not try to overplay someone else or to try to showboat. As the term that's used in sports, it's a team effort, and there's no I in team, and it's about a oneness. God is one, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and we are to operate one with Him and one with each other. The Bible, in many, many texts or excerpts in the Pauline epistles, Paul talks about by love serve one another. He says that in Galatians, I believe it's the Galatians or Ephesians. Paul mentions it, Peter mentions it, as far as submitting one to another. Timothy, it's mentioned in the book of Timothy, as Paul wrote to Timothy, submit yourselves one to another. This is not only applicable when it comes to relationship between the ministry and laity or husband and wife, but it's also related to those who operate as, for lack of better words, colleagues in the gospel or in the church of God. whether you're a minister of music or if you are one who just who plays the bongos in a band. It's important for you to submit yourself one to another. The minister of music submitting themselves to one of the members of the band, ensuring that there is one voice and one sound, a voice of a divine voice, and the divine sound comes out in your music. As you play, the anointing is able to flow because there is no flesh that is trying to glory in His presence, because it can't even happen. And if you try to get prideful and fleshly, the Spirit will immediately remove Himself or in some form show that He is grieved. And what is supposed to be done in the service is hindered because of you having your little moment. It's time out for that. It's time for us to be one. It's time for us to operate in a way that we are excellent and there is no hindrance, and the anointing can channel through us with no hindrance, no stoppage, no type of place given to the devil to operate in any form. The service is full of the Spirit because we're full of the Spirit, operating in the fullness of the Spirit in our ministry gifts, along with the pastor, along with the preacher of that particular service. We are one with the message and the purpose that is to be served in that particular worship setting. There's a purpose for every worship service. And it's important for us to be one in our devotion time personally with God so that we can operate in that very thing as we go in the corporate worship setting. It's no having to change channels. You're already set on that channel to the point where you walk into the service and you're able to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and enter into His courts with praise without having to get quote-unquote prayed up. You pray on a consistent basis. You hear the voice of God on a consistent basis. You're in the Word on a consistent basis. You practice and rehearse in your particular skill on a consistent basis to where they're all one and in a balance, and you embody what you're called to do. There are two extremes prevalent in the local church concerning the ministry of arts. And they are ministry performance having skill, but no power, or even those that have power possessing little or no skill. Proverbs 11:1 says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. A just weight is His delight. In this month's Dairy Thursday broadcast, we're going to talk about the aspects of skill needed to add to the dynamic of the power of God dwelling in us. The language of music, what it is and how to speak it. Structuring the operations of the gift that we operate in, from disciplined rehearsals to powerfully effective ministry performances. Vocalists, join your the power that has been placed in you by the Holy Ghost and the skill in your gift, and excel greatly. Excel in from glory to glory, from faith to faith, and excel in the effect that your ministry has. Musicians, join the power with the skill in your particular gift, and excel as well. Dancers, dance to the degree where you embody the art of the heart of God. Your body structure and the form that you take with each dance step that has been choreographed for that particular dance for that service. Every move you make has an art to it, and it's not just pleasant to the eyes, but it's pleasant to the spirit and to the soul, because the power of God is operating in you and just graceful. The grace of God just fills the place in a peace of God. And the message in the particular song that you're dancing to is able to be amplified even more through what you are depicting through your body language. That's really to what I believe and understand dance to have a purpose for in the church, where it embodies the message of the gospel that is actually being played either by a live band or by a recorded music recording, whether it's instrumental or if it's instrumentation with also vocal recordings on it. We are to, when we dance, we're to embody what God is wanting to say or to get across or minister to the audience and to the congregation. I've seen it countless times, both sides. I've seen it where a dancer has practiced to the degree where the skill is intact, where they don't have to guess and their mind is not distracted because they're trying to figure out what step is next and they're counting in their head. You have to be so comfortable with your, with the techniques of the particular gift skill that you have, that you're able to play or dance or sing or act to the degree that you're so comfortable that the power of God is able to channel through you, and you're even able to improvise according to the Spirit of God leading you. I've seen this, and I believe that it can be even greater in this day and time, where the improv of the ministry performances, whatever form it is, vocal, instrumental, dance, or theater, acting. I've seen where persons are able to act out something and a message gets across. I've seen people get saved off of a play. They run to the altar because the message in the play was depicted through each of the actors. They embodied exactly what the message was. I've seen it with even instrumentals. No singing, no words, but there was such an anointing in the playing of that particular keyboardist or pianist or the guitarist. I've even seen guitarists play, and the anointing just fill the place. No words at all. And the Spirit of God filled the church that they were playing at, and tears were going down the faces of various ones in the audience, and people's hearts were changed, and I believe that some even gave their lives to God because of the anointing. It was a very strong anointing. I'm thinking of one particular service a couple years back. I guess it's been about 10 years. Maybe not that long, but close to that, that I witnessed a guitarist play under the anointing. It was just outstanding. It stood out from someone just playing an instrument just because they like it. He's very anointed to play. He's been playing since he was a child. I know him to rehearse on a regular basis. In fact, at the church that I grew, was born and raised at, is one of the handful of services that were power packed almost the entire time, particularly when the instrumental went forth. And it's important for us to be in a place with God, first of all, in our personal devotion, where we can have that and there's no hindrances, where our prayer time is consistent. We talk to God on a regular basis. We know His word. So then when we go to play, we embody exactly what our devotion has been the entire time. Our worship is consistent, and we're able to worship and praise Him. And as I said before, we're able to go enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And we're thankful to Him. We're able to bless. We're able to make known His name with the glory of God backing it up. People see the glory on us and hear it through what we play, through what we sing, through what we're saying, when we're acting or and our dance, our body language, not being fleshly, not being worldly, not being secular, but being very divine, godly, and the anointing filling it, embodying the anointing, embodying that art and that skill as well. There's a joining, a fusing together of that. We're going to talk about that in this month. Tonight is a kind of an introduction. I'm going to do an overview of what we're going to talk about. I speak to each professional in the ministry of the arts. Vocalists, I want to talk to you first. When it comes to singing, of course, the world even knows this. It is important for us to rehearse. And when it comes to rehearsing, particularly in charismatic churches, there charismatic or Pentecostal churches I've seen this. I was born and raised in a Pentecostal church, so I can speak on it. I believe I'm an authority figure on that. When it comes to rehearsing, our rehearsals can be lazy and can be very unstructured. No structure at all. Just, okay, we're going to sing these songs. So, okay, let's start with the first one. And then we start singing. Spend about an hour or two on that song. And then go to the next one. With no objective of what we want to perfect for that particular rehearsal. Now, some of us do, and some of us don't. And those of us who don't, we need to incorporate that. So with every rehearsal should have an objective. And the objectives should be skill-wise. They should be skill-wise as well as spirit. And what I call stage. The skill ensures that what you do is correct and precise. The spirit portion makes sure that you are correct as far as the word and the will of God is. And as far as the stage, that ensures that your presence is matching what you have designated for the skill and the spirit of the particular thing that you're doing exudes. So your skill is built and developed by consistent practicing, and it's developed by objective-driven rehearsals. So with each rehearsal, for example, choir leaders, your rehearsals, I suggest, should be divided into seasons. So you have seasons 1, 2, 3, and 4, and for each season there's an objective and a theme for that season overall, and then objective dynamics for each of the three categories I just said to you, skill, spirit, and stage. So for season 1, you want to exude whatever the prophetic word is for the church as a whole for that season. For example, we all know, and it's been said in this broadcast countless times, 2009 is a time of manifestation. So the objective for the rehearsals is that the glory of God is manifested to a greater degree than it has been in past times. So you have to, so this is going to take some preparation. So you choir directors, you're not just going to have to learn the songs and know how to break it down for each part and tell them their parts or how to sing it, but you're going to have to take time. Even in your prayer time, set aside some time to speak to the Spirit of God and have Him speak to you concerning how to carry out embodying the particular word for the global church as well as the local church. Now, there's specific direction and instruction for each local church according to what the Lord is saying to the leader of that body. So it's important for ministers of music and choir leaders to be have good relationships, great, actually, I'm not going to say good, great relationships with the pastors of that particular church body. It's actually becoming very popular for ministers of music or music departments to be so separate from the pastors. The only time they have any time together is in the services, and that's unacceptable. It's important that I believe that the pastor and all ministry leaders, which would include the music ministry, leaders, those who are in a position that are called to supervise and actually initiate and carry out the operations of that particular music department, should meet with the pastor on a regular basis and know the heart of the pastor. How can you work in a local church and not know the heart of the pastor? It's not just about coming there, putting in hours, and getting a paycheck, those of you who are paid. It's about coming there and actually operating in the gift that God has put in you and the way that He has for you to operate in it and at the place. And that's actually a major challenge, because some of us just go to a place because the salary looks good or because of the notoriety that's possible there, the potential of notoriety. oh, this pastor is renowned, so I'm going to go here. I'm going to apply here because he's renowned. My name will be known in the music circuit because my pastor is known. I'll be able to travel with him. That's your objective. That's your reason for going. Nowhere in what I just expressed to you of a scenario was God mentioned. This is where God has for me to be. This is the church body that I'm supposed to contribute to the vision and mission of this particular ministry being forthcoming, coming out, manifested, growing, developing. It's time for us to stop being selfish and to actually collaborate with our pastors and work with them, and vice versa, the pastor being open to work with the Minister of Music and the ministry leaders, period, but we're talking about music ministry. So it's important for the pastor and the Minister of Music to be one as far as the mission and vision of the church is, and the prophetic projection of the years and months and weeks, even detailed to the hour. What is to be done in each worship service? Are they to always be the same? There should be a structure, but are they to always be the same? The Bible study, should it be the same structure as Sunday? Or should it be a different structure? And who should lead it? Now, every detail, I don't believe that pastors should have to sit there and feed to the Minister of Music, but there should be a collaboration there where there's reporting. See, this going into these dynamics, we shy away from this because it takes work. But laziness, we see it in Proverbs countless times. I'm not even going to go to the scriptures, but we see it in Proverbs where laziness is frowned upon by God. And it's important for us to be excellent. God is an excellent God. He does everything in decency and in order, and it's important for us to do proper preparation. It's important for us to do proper communication amongst each other, and that will in turn bring proper execution and application. And we'll see the effect that we've been talking about needs to happen in the church. We'll see the gifts operate with freedom. Music, as we're going to go over in one of the first broadcasts following this one of the Berry Thursdays, music has a language, not just theoretically or theory as far as like there's notes, there's rhythms, there's key signatures, there is chord progressions, there's crescendoing and decrescendoing, there's certain techniques to playing the piano, certain techniques to playing an instrument, there's certain techniques to singing and dance, but it also has a language of reach, if you will. Music reaches beyond language barriers. You cannot be able to say one word to a person in their language, but be able to play something and communicate 1,000 words to them. It's just a power that has been placed within that medium that I believe is ordained by God. And the enemy tries to take that, and in his counterfeit way, he tries to take that and distort many people's lives through various types of secular music, particularly the more dark ones. And I could list them, and I probably will in future broadcasts. Certain ones like heavy metal or punk music has a harsh sound, usually uses minor modes, and there are demonic activity that even happens in the recording sessions that people don't even consider as a possibility. And even with the music that is more prone to the black community, there are certain activities happening right in the recording sessions so that there's a certain feel, particularly sexual, to go across the airwaves, and we wonder why our teenagers are doing certain things and experimenting with sexual activity, but yet their music collection would tell us the story. If we would even just look at the titles of the songs, it'll read right back to us exactly what we are questioning. Why are they doing this? It'll read it right back to us. It's important for us to clean up our music collections and to know that God is concerned about every aspect of our life, every aspect of our worship and our devotion, which is our entire life, our life's devotion, what we listen to, what we do, what we say, who we hang around, every aspect. Not to the point of he's standing over us waiting for us to do something wrong, but that he lives in us and enables us to be right. It says in Philippians 2:13, it is God who works in us to will and do of his good pleasure. He not only works in us the actual acting or doing of his good pleasure, but actually desiring and then doing it, the will. He works with our will, which is a whole nother series. You can look back into the archives at Sound in Our Soul that was exegeted by Dr. Breland. He talked about being sound in the soul and the importance of the whole reasoning process and how God works with our reason. He says in his word back in Isaiah, come, let's reason together. And I will wash your sins as white as wool. He talks about cleansing us, reasoning with him. So it's important for us in our rehearsing to have objectives, and I suggest that you would do it according to seasons. So you have skill, and you have the spirit of it in the stage of the stage presence, how you look. And that goes beyond clothing, but also to body language. We can be saying very scriptural words, power-packed, soul-stirring, as they say, words, but our body language and our clothing can totally throw off the message. We are as humanity, we communicate in various forms. We communicate verbally and we communicate nonverbal. And the nonverbal can outweigh the verbal as well as the verbal, the nonverbal. You can look, have a pleasant look about you, but say the most harshest words and it affects someone negatively, or vice versa. You can have the most pleasant words, but your body language shows to them that it looks or appears that you don't even mean what you say, and it can affect them negatively. And it's also for the positive. We communicate in both forms, and it's important for us to structure that form. So with our rehearsing, all of that should be incorporated, not just knowing the notes, the keys, and the dynamics, or the choreographed movements for the choir, but actually the representation that we exude concerning the glory of God, the Spirit of God. Are the songs what God wants for that particular choir to sing? I believe that every local church has a song, if you will, that is theirs and God's. There's a song or a sound that God desires for that particular church because of the persons that ministry is called to. It's about the family of God and what he wanted from the beginning. Ultimately, the big picture is what he wanted from the beginning, and the whole, we have the ministry of reconciliation. So we're involved in the process of reconciling man back to God. So if there's a ministry called specifically for new converts, evangelizing, getting people right off the streets, bringing them in, developing them, getting their minds renewed, and building them up, and then they become leaders who do the same thing, and there's a multiplying effect. The songs and the ministry, even outside of music ministry, but we're talking about music ministry, every song, every aspect of the music department should be geared toward that vision. So the songs should be so attention-catching, and not as we've thought for many years now, where it has to have a certain edgy sound or street sound. That's not even, it's bigger than that. It's deeper than that. There should be a sound of evangelism where the message and the anointing or the power behind it grabs the heart gently but with a loving force, where they come to God, they say, I've got to serve this God because there is a message in the music. There is a message in the dance. There's a message in the skit or the theater, the acting, the depicting of a story. That's what you're doing when you're acting. You're depicting a story. You're just depicting a message. And a person depicts the message to the degree where evangelism is able to operate. If you're a church that is geared, that is more of an apostolic church or a church that develops ministries, your particular overseer is called to developing ministries, so building strong churches over and over and over again, many churches, many churches, many churches. The music ministry should be used in that way, where the songs edify to the point where they're two leaders, not a bunch of music that would be for babes or for those who haven't really achieved a certain degree of grace and glory and a degree of faith in their walk, where they're actually leaders. I went to a seminar, I believe it was about 2 years ago, it was 2007, where the minister of music, who's actually in this area, outstanding minister of music, he sang songs that were so fitting for that particular seminar. It was a pastor's seminar. Everyone there was in some type of pastorship form or executive leadership position, and the worship was just awesome. It was wonderful. It was very glorious. He was just, he didn't have to do any pumping or priming. He knew not even to try to do that, because he was in the presence of leaders. So it was no need to pump or prime or say, or explain how to praise. And he expected that they knew how to praise. And he really did an excellent job, according to what I saw and observed. He came in, sang the songs, and the Spirit of God was able to immediately start to move on the hearts of the pastors who had really extended themselves and needed a refreshing. It was a very refreshing service from the point of praise and worship. And so when the seminar speaker came up, He in fact gave noted the fact that the minister of music just came right in on the glory cloud and was able to usher in the presence of the Lord effectively, to where the speaker had no problem getting up and speaking what the Lord had put on his heart to say to the pastors. It was an awesome session, and I'm not saying the music made it that awesome session, but it contributed greatly. I need to put a disclaimer out there, for lack of a better word, that I am not one to replace the spoken word of God with any art form. Now, if the Spirit leads for a particular service to go that route and no one speaks but there's just worship, I've seen that. Then that's, it's as he wills. It's his church. But I'm not one to say that we can substitute the art ministry in for the spoken word. It's not biblical. Doing that consistently, it's not biblical. We see where Paul talks about speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and he also talks about preaching to the point where they would come up in their faith, go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. The word which we speak, the spirit of faith, the word which we speak, we believe, therefore we speak. The spoken word is necessary for the worship setting, and I believe the music part, the arts part, is very necessary. It falls into the category of, I believe, helps administration as well as exhortation. There is an edification that comes in the worship setting when the minister of music is able to minister to the congregation through the Spirit of God, or the dance team is able to minister to the congregation, depicting in an art form that was created by God himself. He created in us the various communication forms that we have, the body language, the speaking, verbally, the nonverbal, all of it he created in us. So I believe that these expressions are our byproducts or our seeds or offspring of what he placed in us. Just an expand of the knowledge and the wisdom that he put in us from the beginning. It comes from within our spirit, and it's important for us to keep that in our minds and keep that objective in us. It's when we try to do external in, where we look outwardly, fleshly, for a guide or compass to how we do our ministry in the arts. It's important for us to go from the inside out, operating in the ministry according to the proportion of our faith, as Scripture says. And that applies to us in music ministry and in the arts. We act according to the proportion of our faith. We sing according to the proportion of our faith. We play whatever instrument it is according to the proportion of our faith. We sing according to the proportion of our faith. And dance according to the proportion of our faith, according to his will. Operating in the Spirit of God, I'm telling you, as we see a joint effort and a joint mindset toward this, we will see great change in our churches. We will see lives change in this world, in our communities. We'll see them change, and we'll stop trying to win them by a catchy beat. It's so beyond that. Please hear me on that. It's so beyond the beat and the sound as far as the external is concerned. But there is a beat and a sound that is glorious. There is a sound that is just like that of Acts 2, that rushing mighty wind. There is a sound of the wind coming in our churches that will cause a manifestation of the glory of God to the degree that lives are changed as we've never seen before. There is a sound of the wind coming to our churches. Mark this word tonight. There's a sound coming. There's a sound coming. There's a sound coming. This is Zeri Thursday. I'm gonna end right there. And we will be together here again on USWAT Radio on Sunday at 10 p.m. Tell every aspiring musician, tell every minister of music, those who believe it's a call to that ministry, those who have any family members or believe that they're to be of the help of the administration for those ministries, which you would need to be very much so in the know-how of what it's about and how one should operate in it so that you can help them. There's some who are not called to play, who are not called to sing, but they want help with the administration of it, making sure that there's a structure. There are people who are called to administration, are very anointed for administration. It's important for all of us to be as one, the pastors being one with the ministers of music, the ministers of music being one with the administration staff, the administration staff being one with the ushers being one with everyone that is involved in the operation of the church. It's important for us to be one in the Spirit. Father, make us one as you are one with the Son and with the Spirit, that the sound of the wind will be in your churches, will be in your church globally, and we will see the manifestation of the glory of God that you have willed to be in Jesus' name. Amen. You SWAT listeners, thank you for listening. This is Selena Olivia, President of Gore Campaigns and host of Spirit Street Talk Radio, standing in for Dr. Breland, who is host of You SWAT Radio. Remember, it's Gore from here. And tune in on Sunday at 10 p.m., and we'll come again. And we're having PNW Sundays, Praise and Worship Sundays, where we talk specifically on praise and worship in the worship settings and what the Lord has revealed to me concerning those things, particularly music ministry. There will be an emphasis on music over dance and theater, of course, because of that being my strength. And when we have interviews and guests come on or contribute in any form, whether they actually are live recording or if they contribute some information that I will communicate to you, that's when the other ones will take effect and will be spoken or communicated. So dance and theater, I'm soliciting help from some friends in the gospel, some colleagues in the gospel, to help me in that, as well as my own research, to so that I can relate to you the things that are being and will be revealed concerning this particular subject of the arts in ministry. Love you. Have a great 4th. Enjoy the food, but not too much. Enjoy your 4th. Don't get too close to the fireworks. And we will be here again on USWAT Radio on blogtalkradio.com on Sunday at 10 p.m. You have a great night, and I will talk to you then. Bye-bye.